Psalm 34, and here's what it says. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Isn't that a great promise? Amen. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now, here's the question. How do you magnify something that already fills the entire universe? How do you magnify that? God is so pervasive. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. So, anybody ever ask you to think that God ever created any of the creatures other than humanity? Yeah, I just read it to you. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything and anything else, and he holds all creation together. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Jesus is the critical component of everything that exists. Man can't create anything. Man can take what God has created and build from it, but man can't create anything because the definition of create means to invent the components from which things come. Then the physicist will tell us that the wood that your pew is made from consists of molecules and atomic particles, neutrons, protons, and electrons, and the wood is a living substance. If broken down in its components into the most minuscule pieces, you'd find electrons, protons, and neutrons consist in the wood that you're sitting on. What the physicist says that he can't figure out, they can't unravel this with a microscope. They can't discern it with any probe known to man. There is an unseen force, and they call it the turning force. And that force acts on those electrons, protons, and neutrons and causes them to bind together and function in whatever measure that they're designed for. In this case, wood. They can't come up with a definition of what causes those atomic particles to function together to make wood or anything else that's created. Well, let me help the physicists today. Locked inside every one of those atomic particles and molecules and atoms is the Word of God. It lives and holds everything together. He opened his mouth and he said, "Let there be light." And the sun was created and all the elements which produce us light and heat. He just called into existence the stars that fill the skies and named every one of them. And they sparkle like diamonds on black velvet. God, who is so mighty and so powerful, holds together the entire universe. Listen, the word says he hung the worlds where they are in their orbits. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. You can't hang your hat on nothing. But God takes nothing and makes it into something. And he took something and hangs it out on nothing. God created earth and said, spin and don't stop. And the earth and all the planets in our solar system are rotating. Pastor Michael used to have these little cars that he played with, the kind when you would take them, you know, and you'd run their wheels on the floor and they would build up momentum. And the more you rev them up, the faster and the longer they would go across the floor. And sooner or later, they'd stop because friction takes over and slows them and stops them. But God, who created the planets and started them rotating, said, spin. He gave the earth a command, and he has not rescinded that command. And his word is so powerful, the earth does not stop rotating. How in the world do you magnify the God who is in everything that you can see. Well, here's the key. Magnification doesn't alter the size of the object you're looking or studying. It is the size that it is. I have a magnifying glass. I've used it over the years for various projects. Ever look at some of the fine print on some of the stuff they hand you? I mean, you'd have to be a Lilliputian to be able to read this stuff. And I use it to look at the Bible. I can magnify God's word, the word of God. It's unalterable. It's not larger or smaller, no matter what size print you're using. A magnifying glass does not make the substance any larger. It just enlarges it to me or to you. When I was a kid, one of my favorite things to do was play with that magnifying glass. I had a lot of fun with that. Used to set paper on fire. Yeah, it's cool. Used to learn how to use it in Cub Scouts. Start a fire, yeah. And I used to do some things like Dave Reaver did, especially with black carpenter ants. And boom, they'd poof. You can't make God bigger than he is. But when you begin to magnify him, it enlarges him to you. And understand that too much of the world sees God as just some influence. Even the church at times. We think of God as somebody I go visit on Sunday. They see God and he's just something that's kind of ambiguous in my life. But when you take a magnifying glass, you have to focus. And that's what our church is supposed to be. People are supposed to come in contact with us and are supposed to be able to focus with a magnified vision of God and understand the greatness of his impact. We're supposed to make him loom larger than the culture perceives him. The rings around Saturn exist, but with the naked eye, you can't see them. But if you take a telescope and point it at Saturn, it magnifies the planet, and you begin to see the rings of Saturn. Have you ever done that? It's spectacular. You can see what already exists. We don't have to invent something about Saturn. It is as it is. God created it that way. So I'm telling you, the Lord is your healer. Sometimes you just can't see it. God is the restorer of your marriage. Some of you have not been able to see that. God is your provider. All too many have not seen that attribute of God magnified in your life. Magnification is simply allowing God to reveal something to you that already pre-exists. So the Holy Spirit reveals something to me. All too many times, people in the church reverse their binoculars. Instead of magnifying God, they shrink God. Some people have picked up their binoculars in life, and instead of putting them up like this, they turn them around, and this is how they look at God. Where are you, God? Oh, there you are, way down there, that little tiny speck. They're looking out of the wrong end of their binoculars. They see him distant, and they see him tiny. He's out there on the brink of eternity somewhere, but he's of no value to the problems and the issues you face today. That's exactly the way the enemy wants the culture to think. He wants you to think that God is real, that he's out there, but he's so far removed from you that you can barely see him as a dot. And with all the problems you have going on, with God being so distant from you, you can't count on him to show up to do anything in your life. I'm here to tell you, turn your binoculars around. Faith and fear are in the same pair of binoculars. It just depends what end you're looking out of. 365 times in God's word, he says, fear not. But listen to the language of some, even in the church. They talk fear. They speak anxiety. They speak depression. They speak defeat. When's the last time you ask someone, how are you feeling? And they say, well, I feel like I'm coming down with something. Why don't we respond by saying, praise God, I'm receiving healing right now. Catch your healing. Turn the binoculars around. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, fear not. Then he added three reasons. I am he that lives I am he who was dead, and I am he who is alive forevermore. So of all the fears in the human race and that we experience, any of those fears would fit into one of those three categories. I am he who lives, the fear of life and what it brings to people. And that's why some people commit suicide. They're so afraid of what life is bringing to them. They check out. I am he who is dead, the fear of death. I'm not afraid to die today because Jesus conquered death. And he said, fear not about death and fear not about life. I'm alive forevermore. Some people have fear of the future. Some are fearful of what tomorrow is going to bring. What's going to happen? What am I going to do when it happens? Well, watch this. David and Goliath, not only did David carry a stone for Goliath, the word points out that Goliath had three brothers. Eventually, David would have to deal with them. So God gave David four more stones, one for each of them and a plus. And God has already given you the ammunition you need to secure your future. And you're not supposed to be afraid or enter the future with fear because God is with you. Amen. Turn the binoculars around. Amen. You've lived in the shadow of fear for so long and so for such an extended period of time. God is great and greatly to be praised. Satan is puny by comparison. You want to look at him in the binoculars in the wrong direction. If God, the God you serve is too small, turn the binoculars around. You're looking through the lenses of fear instead of the lenses of faith. Stop shrinking God. Stop downsizing God. When we magnify God, listen, we shrink the problem. So faith is getting in your car and driving forward. Fear is getting in your car and you're attempting to drive looking in the rearview mirror. That's very dangerous to keep doing that. It all depends on which way you're looking. Are you looking in faith or are you looking in fear? When we magnify God, we shrink the devil. We shrink the circumstances of life when we magnify the Lord. And fear will eat you alive in our day. Anxiety will wear you out. Depression and despondency will overtake you. You'll awaken in the middle of the night and you'll wonder, God, what am I going to do? In that moment, you have to make a decision. Are you going to turn the binoculars around and magnify God? And are you going to be able to see the greatness of God? Or are you going to magnify your problems? When you magnify God, you shrink the devil. So tell your neighbor, shrink the devil. Come on, shrink him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Extend the binoculars of praise and magnify the Lord with me. Some people just spend too much time looking at trouble. You've got your eyes in the natural on too many things happening around you. Magnify God. The problems begin to shrink. The worry shrinks. The magnitude of the debt shrinks, right? The cancer diagnosis can be reversed. Turn the binoculars around. God is bigger. His name is greater than the name called cancer. God is bigger than the trouble you have with your teenager. Do you know how big your God is? Magnify him. In Numbers 13, the word records that Moses sent 12 spies out to check out the promised land before they were going to enter. And he told them, go spy out the promised land and then bring back some of the fruit of the land. So he sends them and they take a tour of the promised land, check out the land, look around, see what God's provided for us. And here's what the church does. The church gets on a tour bus. Moses told them to go out and check the fruit. And then he said, be of good courage. That's like a hint of what might happen, right? What's that mean, be of good courage? A hint of what might come. You're going to see very large fruit growing there. The word says, one cluster of grapes that they brought out of the promised land was so large, It took two men to carry it on a staff between them on their shoulders so they wouldn't drag the fruit on that vine on the ground. One cluster. I mean, it was that huge. But Moses gives them a hint. So did Joshua later on. You see, preaching is announcing what you should see before you see it. And if you listen while the word of God is preached, God will show you what you're supposed to see before you see it. That's what anointed preaching does. And our fears turn the binoculars the wrong way and make the problems larger and God smaller. Do you know what they did? They go into the promised land. Instead of seeing the grapes, they saw the giants. They had their binoculars turned around and they were looking through lenses of fear. Instead of looking at God's greatness to overcome, they started looking through fear. Oh, God, we're never going to be able to. That's no way we can ever conquer anything like that. You see, the spies saw their God as too small, and they magnified the problems. We can't please God without faith. If you're not operating in faith, you're not giving God any pleasure. God doesn't take pleasure in our moanings and groanings. God loves it when his people are out of their comfort zone and we have to trust him. Loves that. We have to see him come through. You see, he's calm in the middle of the storm. When things that we thought we could work out by taking care of it with our own intellect and our own ability and all those resources evaporate, God is still calm in the middle of our crisis because now we've got nowhere to turn but to trust him. I've been serving God long enough to have learned a thing or two. Don't get your eyes or your hope built on any man or any woman. Keep your eyes magnifying the Lord. The spies get into the land and they start looking at, 10 of them start looking at the 10 of the huge giants. And they're overwhelmed. My goodness. Some of you visited Universal Studios, right? Some of you? Okay. As you go through the park on a trolley, they've got Jaws on one side and an earthquake happening on the other side of the park. And if you're looking the wrong way on the trolley, you're going to miss the exhibit, right? In the church, there's some Christians who are like that. Looking the wrong way, God says, don't look at the giants. I want you to look at the grapes. Magnify the potential, not the problem. Now what? You can't have the grapes without fighting the giants. That's how that balances itself out. The word says when David slew Goliath, he cut off his head. And if you want to get ahead, you're going to have to kill some giants. You're never going to get ahead in life without facing down some giants. You'll never be able to go down to Walmart and buy the heavyweight championship belt of the boxing world. They don't sell it there. You have to get into the ring and fight for it. And then you get to wear that belt. Have you ever met a heavyweight champion? I had the privilege of doing that. We were in Phoenix. We were called out there along with Tommy Barnett and a few others. And we sponsored a heavyweight fighter doing some good things for some very needy families. His name was Evander Holyfield. He was the heavyweight champion at the time. And let me tell you, they don't look prissy. After a fight, their eyes are swollen. Their lips are split. Their noses are a little crooked, right? Eyebrows sometimes bloodied and split. And sometimes even part of their ear gets bitten off, right? So if you want the belt, you've got to get in the ring. Somebody needs to quit whining about the giants and understand if we magnify God, he's bigger. The giants will shrink in his presence. And do you know what they said? They said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight as well. Now, how you view yourself is how the enemy will view you. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we asked the enemy, and he agreed with us, you are grasshoppers. Well, how you view yourself is how the enemy views you. The enemy doesn't recognize your authority until you recognize your authority. That's why the demon in Acts said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And if you don't know who you are, the devil doesn't know who you are in Christ. If you know who you are in Jesus, in covenant, and you magnify your God, he's given you authority. They said, we're like grasshoppers, because they were looking through the wrong end. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, the average grasshopper is 1 inch high. The average man is 5'10". So when they said we're like grasshoppers, that's like a 70-to-1 ratio. So what they were saying was the average man being 70 inches tall, we saw giants who are 420 feet tall. The devil loves to exaggerate your problems. He loves to take the binoculars and turn them around and magnify the problems to make God look so tiny and the problems look so big. My Lord, the giants are 420 feet tall. My goodness. How many times my wife and I have been having a conversation and we're talking about how people dramatize and exaggerate and make taller and bigger and so impacting their problems that you just feel like getting out of the way because a tornado is about to take you out. I mean, I learned that those things that cause us to toss and turn and worry during that, because I might hear something or think I've heard something, and by the time the devil gets through with it, it becomes massive. He just keeps building it up and building it. Much of it is much to do about nothing. And when they were screaming at the funeral in the New Testament, they were mourning. She's dead. She's dead already. Jesus walks into that moment and he makes a powerful statement. It's so powerful that Shakespeare even quoted him. You make much ado about nothing. I'm here to curse anxiety in anybody's life. Jesus was the resurrection in that moment. And tell you, half the stuff you're worried about is not going to happen. In fact, insurance companies will tell you that nearly 90% of the stuff you worry about don't happen. And that's why they make money hand over fist. And the rest of it, listen, if it does manifest, magnify God. He's bigger than anything you face. Magnify the Lord with me. Amen. Now, we have to gain the right perspective, is what I'm trying to teach you. The right perspective means things that are supposed to be small, leave them small. Things that are supposed to be big, they're big. Many are frustrated by the chihuahuas of life. Huh? They're yapping at you all the time and sapping your strength. There's a black preacher in Chicago, and he preaches a message called Watch Them Dogs. Okay? And in the message, he tells the story about Chihuahua, a little feisty dog. And he told of this little dog that ran out to the fence every day. And in Chicago, some of the front yards are fenced in. They have a fence around them in their little bungalows, right? He had a front yard fence, and that little Chihuahua would run out in the front yard and run along the fence line. And every now and then, a big Doberman would walk down that sidewalk and walk right along that fence line. And that little Chihuahua would come out and knew that fence was there, of course, protecting it, and bark and yap and yap and yap and yap and yap and follow the big Doberman down that fence line every single day and intimidate with that yap. And that big Doberman just kept walking along the fence line. And every once in a while, again, during the week, that Doberman would take a stroll in front of that fence. Well, one day that little Chihuahua ran out, start barking and barking at the Doberman. And they both arrived at the gate at the same time, but this day, someone left the gate open. And the Doberman, the preacher tells us, ran inside and tore that Chihuahua to bits, ripped him, slung him around, tore one of his ears off, and pranced out. And the poor little Chihuahua limped back up to the front porch. And the preacher said, the dog opened its mouth and said, who left the gates of hell open? Let me make it spiritual for you, okay? The devil is the Chihuahua, and you are a child of the Most High God. Amen? And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against you, his church. Turn the binoculars around. The greater one lives in us than lives in the world. And I've discovered this truth. And do you know why big dogs sometimes will tuck their tails and run from a little dog? You ever notice that? They've studied that. Vets have studied that. Their behavior. And conceptually, dogs don't recognize size as their number one factor. Their minds don't discern the danger from a dog larger than they are. And we had this little miniature poodle. Actually, it's a toy poodle. And Peaches was a little rascal. There was a huge dog next door. She didn't care. She ran around the fence, went up to that dog and just let him have it until that dog just tucked his tail, the big dog, and ran away. It's kind of interesting because sometimes their minds don't discern. You're just a tiny little thing. That dog can have you for lunch. Okay? They don't sense that fear. It's not the size of the dog in the fight that matters. It's the size of the fight in the dog that matters, right? We might have to come to the place where we stop downsizing God and we magnify him. I'm saying this will work against the spirit of fear and the spirit of intimidation. This works against the anxiety you have on the job or at work. Magnify the Lord. Turn the binoculars around. Look how big he is. Well, Pastor, you just don't know the problems I'm going through. Well, let me compare my problems with your problems. Let's have a problem comparison. And that's what some people do. You know, it's like some elderly folk, you know, they get together and they try to compare and they talk to each other and about how sick they are. Well, you think that's bad. Let me tell you about what I'm dealing with right now. And they go back and forth. I was looking at a list of that the other day. I think I saved it because I wanted to read it this morning. You know, oh my goodness. Your metabolism seems to be stuck in traffic. Some of the things people say to each other, if that's when they get to that point. The kids are using slang I don't understand. Swapping ailment stories with their friends. Canceled plans are your favorite kind of plans. You still get the Sunday paper delivered. You print out your boarding pass when flying. You actually go into the bank to make a deposit. Okay, well, here are some of the things that people, you know, they complain about. And they, oh, we don't know what I'm going to do in this day and age. Listen, it goes back and forth and back. Listen, I'm not interested in comparing problems. Because we can sit and tell you stories. You can't make this stuff up, the stories I could tell you. I could write a book entitled that. You can't make this. Magnify the Lord, not the problem. Don't just hear what I'm saying. Do what I'm saying. Magnify the Lord. Don't buy stock in Satan, Inc. because it has a bad CEO. Everything Satan touches goes down. He was in heaven as the worship leader. The next time you read about him, he's been lowered in status. He's the prince of the power of the air. The next time you read about him, he's then now lowered to the god of this world. He's fallen lower. And then the next time you read about him, he's called Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. And the next time you read about him in the book of Revelation, he's in the bottomless pit. That's about as low as you can get. But Jesus is always on the way up. On the third day, he arose. On the 40th day, he ascended. And the Father has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. Understand that God never intended for the Israelites to wander for 40 years. He already had a plan to defeat those giants. All he wanted them to do was look through faith at him and possess what he promised. Go in and get it. But they looked through the wrong end and they saw God as tiny and the giants as large. And the word says in the book of Numbers, God prophesied over them. Listen, he said, I will drive the inhabitants out with hornets. Man, I'll go and send hornets after them. God intended to send swarms of hornets after those people in that land. I was thinking about that. Have you ever been stung by one of those? I was when I was a kid. We used to go out to a farm. You know, we'd have our shirts off, swimming in the in the little river and having some good time, and an old hornet just land on you and give you one. I mean, and boy, that thing would hurt. But how brilliant of God. I don't care how big a giant was. One hornet in his shirt or in his pants. I mean, one hornet could drive out the biggest giant. And the Lord doesn't want you worried about that kind of, he says, tell the people I'm sending hornets out in front of them. Now, you didn't get what I got out of that, okay? Humor me for a moment. Act like you believe his word, okay? I will send hornets. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'll send hornets before you. And the food will be on the tables waiting for you, still simmering. You just have to walk in because I prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'll send hornets before you and drive out anything that defies the promises of God. God's so much bigger than our challenges. Magnify him. If you'll start magnifying God, your fears will begin to dissipate. Your anxiety levels go down. You walk out of here, instead of being negative, you walk out rejoicing and say, I am magnifying the Lord. Jesus took mud pies he created with his own spittle and put them into the empty sockets of a man born blind and created new eyes for him. You know what mud pies are? I mean, stuff that kids play with. It's stuff that kids, and he just picks it up and he forms it. And God said, I can do more playing around with mud than the most sophisticated surgeon can do with all of his expertise. Jesus reaches down, he writes in the sand and changed the destiny of a woman who was dabbling in earth's dirt. And the woman caught in the act of adultery, they throw her down in front of Jesus. I don't know what words he was writing in the sand, but he knelt down and he wrote some of them that absolutely stung those that were in his presence. And the word says he writes with his finger and changed that woman's destiny and forgave all of her past. What could Jesus do if we turned the binoculars around and we saw him in all of his glory? What could he do if we truly believed and decided that he can touch us and heal us? Because you've magnified his great power. He's mighty. He's all-powerful. He is present. And so in defiance of fear and intimidation, express some faith and some praise. Magnify the Lord with me. And it's not accidental the way this is written. Let us exalt his name how? Together, not alone, together. Get in the company of other believers. Step into a connect group. Enjoy the presence of God. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How many?
All.
Fear of failure. Fear of the future. Fear of death. Any and all fears. They go when you turn the binoculars around and you magnify the Lord. So, anybody engaged in a battle here today? Challenges, they seem huge. You're looking at the problems and they appear to be large. Oh my. Don't look through the binoculars in the wrong direction at God. God's on the other end. And sometimes because we've been magnifying the problems, we start looking up at God and he seems to be so far away. No, flip those things around and look at the problems and realize those are tiny compared to the greatness of the God that I serve. He's given me a promise that if I preach this truth to you today and magnify his name and his purpose and character, that he would set people free in this room. That's his promise. All anxiety, all fear, all intimidation. Magnify the Lord and shrink the devil to his own reality. He's a liar. Period. So we need some praisers and some magnifiers. We'll pull out a set of binoculars or a magnifying glass. Well, Pastor, what are my binoculars? How do I know if I have them? Worship is your binoculars. When you worship, fear dissipates. The anxiety lessens. The complacency goes away. The restlessness stops. Worry ends. You are not a warrior, you are a warrior. Amen? So you worship your great God. You have all the ammo you need to face the future because you know it's secure. You have the smooth stones already in your arsenal. And you can leave here and you can allow worry to tear you up. You can put on the garment of praise and see stuff begin to turn. Magnify him. Turn the binoculars around. Say, God, you're able, you're mighty. God, you're powerful. You're more than enough. And what does that mean to God? I'm taking my eyes off of the giants and I'm gonna look at the grapes. And stress will break and joy will return. And some of you are busy and tired. I call out that spirit, a busy, tired spirit. Now you shall become fresh and rested and renew your strength like the eagles. You shall mount up. You've been weary. Magnify the Lord. Your future is secure. He's given you everything you need. And he says, you don't know what I've planned for you. You don't know what I've already set up for you. And you don't know who I've already called to be by your side to fight the battle with you. So why don't you stand to your feet and give God the best expression of praise you have this morning for just a moment.